What's up and welcome back to another kind of funny screencast. This one is for Loki episode 2 of season 2. We're doing a breakdown. I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined today by Blessing at Aoya Jr.
Good day, Tim.
Good day to you. Very, very excited to have you on this one because I'm trying to get a rotating cast of people every week for the Marvel shows on Disney Plus. We started doing that with Secret Invasion, had a lot of fun there. But I've been trying to get you on Loki. We didn't work out last week. We had Matt Rohrbeck. He was awesome. You should check out that episode too. But I know I've known you a long time. I mainly on the game side of things, we get to talk about stuff. But I know that you love Loki.
Yeah.
You know,
I love this show so much.
Yeah,
it's it's not saying much because I'm sure a lot of people agree, but it's easily my favorite Marvel TV thing. I think the season one of Loki, episode to episode, I think was done masterfully. And I'm very excited to talk about this episode and this season so far, because I'm of a place right now where, that I think a lot of people are, where I'm experiencing that Marvel fatigue. Right, like I didn't even watch Secret Invasion, and that's the thing that, like, if you asked me a year ago, hey, are you gonna skip a full season of a Marvel thing? I'd be like, never. Like, I would never skip a Marvel thing. And so yeah, it's nice to be back for Loki, and I'm excited to see what you think of it so far.
Really, really excited to talk to you about all of that, because of course this is the Kind of Funny Screencast. Each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. You can watch on youtube.com/kindoffunny, or if you want to listen, you can go to your favorite podcast service, search for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to go above and beyond though, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad free. It gets you a whole bunch of bonus content. It's a great place. You should check it out. And you can join the ranks of our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Jedi Master Deadpool, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamoth. Thank you very much for your support. Today we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, but I'll tell you all about that later. Bless, let's start with you. Where are you at so far? Because you can even talk a little bit about episode one as well, leading into this. What are you thinking about season two?
So I was very trepidatious going into season two. One, based on like a few of the reviews I've seen, like now that I think we're a bit past it, I've seen more of a range of opinions of the first four episodes as those reviews went up. But going in, I was a bit trepidatious. Episode one, I really, really enjoyed, right? Like I got through that one and I was like, okay, I think they're doing some cool things here. I like what they're doing with the effect of Loki being transported from different times, right? And like how it looked painful, but also it's not that painful, but also Mobius being like, oh, but it looks really painful, right? Like all those bits worked for me. I still love how much of it is this workplace comedy that feels like it has its own identity within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's also dealing with some of the most grand elements of this current saga, right? Because it is, hey, we're diving into He Who Remains, we're diving into the Kang stuff, we're like, you know, this is what the core of this is. And even though that is like the main theme, the main storyline of what the saga is, Loki still has this level of, no, but this is isolated. Like this is its own story, and we are telling a very character-driven drama comedy thing here, right? And I think episode two displays that really well. I really enjoyed episode two. Again, I think it excels of the thing of, I really like where Loki's going as a character. I really like Mobius as a character. Owen Wilson playing Mobius, I know like we've had a full season with him already, but he continues to like make me fall in love with him. Him delivering the lines about the key lime pie,
come on,
killed me.
Come on,
absolutely. That whole scene with the key lime pie killed me for multiple reasons, right? It was him saying the line of like, you know, I'd like to thank the guy who kidnapped me and brought me here, got me this pie. Fucking excellent line. Excellent line. And him even saying like the first thing he said in that key lime pie scene, he's like, oh, it's really good. Absolutely incredible. But that Brad's character, Brad Wolf, him being this hunter that found his place in the timeline and like wanted to be there, I think that the way that feeds into the themes of Loki, also very fascinating and very cool. And the way that that actor played that character in the interrogation, really good, really awesome. And yeah, like I'm still in love with the show. Like beat to beat, I think they're doing such a good job of making it about the characters, even less so than what's going on with like the timeline stuff and what's going on with Doc's like cutting off all the timelines. Because really, when you look at any other Marvel thing, I feel like you look at Shang-Chi and it's about the Ten Rings. You look at the Infinity Saga and it's about the Infinity Stones. Loki like should be about the timeline, but really it's about the characters and how they build those characters and like how we develop Loki as a character. And I think they continue to do that well. And I think that is why this show excels beyond pretty much any of the other ones that we get in the cinematic universe.
I'm right there with you, man. I am loving this. Loki season one is one of my favorite MCU things, period. Like, I'm not even just talking about the shows. Like, it is very, very high up my list of just any of the Marvel Studios projects, TV in general, like everything, I just think that they kind of knocked it out of the park in terms of the production design, in terms of the casting, in terms of the simultaneous style and substance that we have going on. Like, you alluded to a lot of this, but really diving into these characters and the concept of belonging, of these people were like forced to be mind wiped and become slaves essentially, but it's an interesting concept of, but what if they want that? Or what, like, with Mobius's character, of him liking the pie so much, like he's kind of like
him being scared, like, you know, oh, what if it's good out there? You know, like,
I don't necessarily want to know. And then, yeah, with the character of Brad, him being like, yo, I'm this famous actor, like, I'm living my best life out there, like, I prefer that over this for sure. I think that stuff's so interesting. Season two so far for me, I don't think is hitting the highs or as good as season one. I also don't think it can be. And I also, because I think season one, the surprise and mystery and how out of left field it all felt is so much of it. Whereas this just feels like more Loki. I honestly don't see that as a criticism, though. Yeah. I feel like they are giving us more Loki in ways that I didn't anticipate. And everything that I'd want from it, we're getting more of. I loved the chemistry between Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston in season one. I feel like that's what this show, this season is. It's just, that's what we're giving you. And in the trailers, we saw that Rafael Casal was going to be in it. He was cast. He's the actor that plays Brad Wolf. He is potentially in my like top 10 all-time favorite creators, period. He's from Blindspotting. He's from the Bay Area. Puts out amazing music. Talented beyond belief. And is a great actor. And I did not expect him to get this much screen time in Loki. And I think he's knocking it out of the park. And seeing the scenes, the good cop, bad cop dynamic between Owen Wilson, Tom Hiddleston, interrogating Rafael Casal, I'm just like, I don't deserve this in a Marvel project.
Yeah,
like,
it's so
this
good.
This is so good, man.
The way, like, they play in a way that we've seen a million times in TV and movies where, you know, they go in and Mobius turns to Loki and is like, don't lose your cool, don't lose your cool. And they go in and they start and Loki begins the interrogation. And the whole time it's like, well, we know Loki's in control, right? Yeah. Like, they're going to play like he's going to lose his shit, but at the end of the day, he's going to be in control. And the way they flip it where, you know, like, Brad mentions Loki's mom, and you're like, oh, well, where's this going to go, right? And, like, Owen Wilson steps in and starts doing his own thing, and because Brad Wolf is in that scenario, right, Brad Wolf was mind-wiped, he was part of the TVA, and now he's found his place on the timeline, and he's, like, he's seen both sides of it, and, like, the important part is he's right. Like, Brad Wolf is in the Brad Wolf is his stage name or his actual name? Do you think?
Well, that's good. I don't know if they're ever even going to get into that. But sure. Like, yeah,
I'm going to call him Brad Wolf because I like it. But like the way that he's in the right and like he knows he's in the right and he's like, I'm not going to give in to this because obviously what I'm saying is real, right? Like, hey, what is our place on the timeline? Like, you know, we're just doing bullshit here, and like that being enough to break Mobius. And like I think the part where Mobius hits Brad kind of cheesy, kind of corny, it's whatever, but I think it gets the job done in terms of showing that, oh fuck, this is actually getting to him.
I agree with you that like in the moment I was like, oh, we've seen this before and it's kind of weird. The scene of them immediately like walking the hallway and him just being like, where you take me? He's like, dude, I was following you. Yeah. He's like, no, I was following you. He's like, you were in front of me. I love it. You see Mobius start to break, and I love that the Owen Wilson having range that I didn't expect this character to have, especially after season one. Like, there's such great comedic elements, but there's just a truth and sadness behind a lot of it. And like the realization of this Mobius kind of learning who this Loki is, when we're talking about variants, we're talking about time travel simultaneously. Like, it's interesting to note that this is the same Loki that ended Avengers 1 and then did not experience the rest of it besides just like watching a video essentially. And this is a different Mobius from last season, just in terms of timeline of like what he knows about the Loki. Right.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Or at least at certain points because of how Loki was like time slipping back and forth. It's always interesting of who knows what, who knows how much about what's going on, with Loki being the one that at this point has the most information because he's seen the furthest into the future. Add Sylvie into all of this. But I love that, as confusing as all that stuff can get, and then you add Obi, which, good Lord.
God, I love him so much. Man. He is so good.
And there's a mystery there. Like, I feel like they have done a great job of simultaneously being super fun, being easily digestible, despite being complicated as all hell. But also having that substance for things mattering, having that entire interrogation scene get so intense with him bringing up Loki's mom, but then that conversation about you're a villain, dude. Like, yeah. you're good at it. But Loki saying it's the real me, a loser, always have been, always will be. And it's like, he's saying that to kind of like flip the script on Brad a bit, but there's truth there. And like, that's how Loki sees himself. And he is overcompensating, or at this point compensating, to just be a good person, trying to save people. That whole bit towards the end where he's like talking about wanting to save people, and they're like, you, what are you talking about, you wanting to save people? But yeah, it's like, I just think that there's a lot of great elements here that are working together, and it's paying off.
Yeah, and I, to your point of it, in comparison to the first season, right, and how, like, you know, not necessarily criticism that it's not as exciting, like, I have the same read on it of, you know, I don't find this season currently as exciting as season one, but I almost feel like it feels more like a TV show than season one, right? Season one was 6 episodes that all felt like the individual set piece moments. Like, every episode, there was a moment where I was like, oh shit, like, I can't believe we're here. Like, I can't believe we're doing this in this way. Whereas season two, I think, is doing such a good job of just character development and character back and forths and relationships. And, you know, like, even in the way that at its core, this show being this workplace comedy, when we get to Sylvie and Sylvie's working at McDonald's,
yeah,
I absolutely love the juxtaposition of Sylvie being working at this fast food establishment, Loki happy, right? Loki coming down from his corporate job, right, at the TVA, and seeing like this dichotomy between, you know, Sylvie, who up until this point with her character, she's been birthed in chaos and she spent her whole life running. Like, she's spent her whole life in chaos and she's never known anything that is, hey, like, I have a system, I have a structure here, right? She doesn't know structure. So giving her that structure in the form of McDonald's, and Loki being this character who grew up with structure, right, but also is this form of chaos. Like, he grew up in this kingdom with Thor, right, in Asgard and all this stuff. He, like, threw fits, right? He talked about how, yeah, he threw Iron Man off a building and all this.
So
shit.
Good. And
really good.
Great ties to the MCU without, like, without it's being obviously forced. Explicit. It's the weird thing where it is forced, but it's real. That's how, yeah, like, those things happen.
It is relevant.
It's relevant, and it feels like it makes sense with the way that these characters are talking to each other. I just love that. And, like, you were talking about Kang earlier, about the way He Who Remains is talked about. Like, Loki feels the most authentic take on the multiverse stuff so far, because it's where we've seen the most of it actually done and kind of presented with care and presented, yeah, with purpose.
And also it's presented in a cool way. Like, I feel like this is the coolest they've been able to explain how the multiverse works and how all the timeline stuff, and, you know, them talking about them showing the scene where you see all the timelines get pruned and they're looking at the timeline and being like, those are people.
Yeah.
Right. And like,
oh, it's so good.
And it's an infinite amount of people. Like, when you break it down, like, in each of those timelines, it's billions, billions and billions and billions of people being murdered. And it's like, ah, shit, the consequences of this is enormous. And they're able to boil it down to the TVA and the hunters and like all these things that are very fascinating in the way that they're presenting them. I think the one thing I wish we had more of, it would be Kang's character, or He Who Remains. We're going to get that.
Yep.
But like, I wish we had a bit more of the immediate fear. Like, I think we see it in Loki, especially in episode one, where like Loki's freaked out, right? I wish even here in episode two, we had a bit more freaked out Loki, because he knows that, like, hey, we're on it. I mean, you know, no pun intended, we're on a timer.
Yeah.
Like, there are infinite amount of the worst villain ever that is going to destroy everything, and we got to figure this shit out. I think we're going to get that as we get further into it. But that's, I think, the thing that I wish we had a bit more of.
I want to keep talking about this, but real quick, I want to take a word from our sponsor. Yeah, I obviously, we know we're going to get more Kang, more, yeah, Kangs in the coming episodes based on the trailers and even the post-credit scene of Ant-Man Quantumania. But I have a lot of theories. We'll save some of the theories for the end of this episode of like what we think might be happening. But I want to give a major shout out to the opening scene where they're in London, and the kind of chase scene, action scene of Brad kind of running away from Loki, and Loki using the magic to like make the like street people fucking like start, yeah, a fight with him and all this shit. He gets backed up, and then the shadow play of the Lokis with the horns coming out, like, I thought that was so damn cool. And like, you were talking about like the moments of every episode having some crazy, I can't believe they're doing this thing. I was surprised at the amount of times in episode two of this show that I was like, oh fuck, this is sick. Like, That was cool. And at the end, when Loki and Sylvie, when he's just like, don't overthink it, and then they just do the green magic, I was like, this is hype. Like, yeah, this is cool superhero shit.
I wish we got way more of that, like that beginning portion where you had all the clones, but then you also had like the shadows and like shadows holding Brad, and like, you know, the Owen Wilson comes up and is like you know, talking about it, and then the two Lokis disappear, and it's the Loki you don't think is actually Loki that remains Loki. Like, that is the type of shit where I'm like, I wish every action scene in Loki played with this, because I'm still not clear on exactly what are Loki's powers. But every time we get Loki's powers, I'm like, that's cool as fuck.
It's
like,
real sick.
I think about often season one where there's a building that's about to fall on Loki and he fucking catches it with his magic and like lifts it back up. Loki has such a sick set of powers, and I kind of like, on one hand, that they kind of keep it ambiguous of what he can do, what he can't do, because it's just magic. And so when he pulls out some magic that you can't, that you don't really think of, it feels like it's him being witty and it's him being creative. I wish we had a bit more of that. Like, any action scene in Loki, I kind of want it to be that, as opposed to like what we get in a lot of Marvel, which is just people like, you know, punching and kicking and like doing shit. This is a superpowered wizard. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see what he can do as a wizard.
Yeah. Speaking of wizardry, Natalie Holt, the composer of this show.
Oh my.
Dude,
the opening scene?
Dude, the swanky version of the theme playing. Like, dude, this might be the most versatile score I've ever heard. Like, the way they can use the same, like, two or three themes and just have them work in any scene for any emotional output that they're looking for, I'm just blown away every time. Like, I love it. There's consistency to it. There's style to it. And it really adds to the whole thing. And the way that they even weave in old MCU themes, or even just things that we've heard before, like the Asgardian like love theme playing when him and Sylvie kind of reunite. I'm like, this is powerful shit, man. It just makes it feel elevated. And that's the type of production value that, like, when it hits, it really hits in Marvel projects. And when it doesn't, you can tell. It, like, Secret Invasion had more of a generic score to it. It felt like, oh, yeah, it's an action thing.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, it's a Marvel thing. Like, it's this has purpose to it. And man, I loved the score in season one. I'm so impressed with how they're continuing to develop it.
Yeah, I think it's part of the result of just the core theme, like the TVA theme and the green theme, both being just bangers.
Yeah.
And being able to just use those and integrate them, and like, you know, having that motif exist throughout the show in different ways. Like the fact that, yeah, they had essentially a remixed version being used for that Brad Wolf chase scene. Man, like, absolute fire. Another thing I want to bring up, going back to the interrogation scene, interrogation part two, where it was just Loki and Brad in the room, and Loki has like the box thing. I love the concept of it so much. I almost wish that the show could be more ruthless, and I understand why, because they want to keep their rating, but like, there's no point while in that interrogation where I was like, yeah, but this isn't going to go. He's not going to go all the way. He's not really. Like, if I can hear, like, I don't know, just like a little crack of a bone. Like, just a little crack of a bone.
You want to fucking jigsaw him?
Just a little bit to show that, like, Loki's ruthless. Like, that's all I want.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, not that exactly, but he does have scars on his arms. Brad.
Afterwards?
The whole time. Okay. And I just wonder if they're ever going to touch on that. Like, it feels like a purposeful thing. So I don't know, because like we saw him, because he had his sick ass like sleeves rolled up. I love that Robin just had swag for days, even in his fucking TVA jumpsuit. Good for
hell
him,
yeah. I would love an episode, or maybe a moment, like a scene that is like Kang, or He Who Remains, I guess, doing the like brainwashing people, and like us learning how he got the TVA to where the TVA is at. Because like, again, the mystery is dope, because it's like, how the fuck did you get it to this? But I like to talk about the scars, or talk about, like, you know, the brainwashing and all that stuff. That had to start from somewhere.
Yeah.
And whatever that is, I think that story is worth telling.
Well, so what's super cool is, just real quick, I want to say that how terrifying you were talking about the scene of all the TVA looking at the timelines getting erased.
Yeah.
But then to cut to the action scene, which on one hand, it's an action scene. Yeah. On the other hand, it's these hunters sending up a bunch of portals to go fuck up billions of people.
Yep.
It's kind of terrible.
They're all setting bombs.
Yeah, like there's a lot going on there that is like really, really intense. But to your point about like the getting back to the why and the how and everything, I mean, clearly that's kind of what this show is about, or at least what this part of the universe is about, of dealing with Kang and the history of Kang and He Who Remains, all of it. The way that they're talking about Kang so far, or specifically He Who Remains in this season, I think is so interesting with how they're tying it to Ravonna Renslayer.
Yeah.
And knowing what she did in season one, and they even reference it directly here, where B-15 was just like, yo, why are we like, this isn't a secret. Like, we should be talking about this. Like, our one of our leaders, like our head people, turned on us and has been betraying us and like tried to kill this person, did this. And even last episode with that, the recording bit of hearing Kang talk to her, and about her, or them having a conversation together. The tying of them together is really interesting to me because obviously she's going to come back. Obviously she's going to be a big part of whatever the narrative is, because she's still out there. But where is she? What is she doing? And my interesting question to you, let's start getting into some theory stuff going on. Are they trying to link He Who Remains and Ravonna in the same way that Loki and Sylvie are linked?
Oh, you think that it's like a variant situation?
Potentially. And because I feel like the fact that they brought even more attention to the Loki-Sylvie romance, where we had Brad's character kind of be like talking to Owen Wilson in the McDonald's, being like, it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there's... They're hinting and reminding us about enough elements that I wouldn't be surprised if there's some reveal that Renslayer is a variant.
I mean, that'd be fascinating. Man. I mean, that's what a lot of the timeline stuff is set up in a way that's both confusing, but maybe could loop around to being, oh, like they've been building toward this all along. Because I've never fully understood the rules of, all right, so for Kang, every Kang looks like Jonathan Majors, but for Peter Parker, every Peter Parker looks different. For Loki, every Loki looks different and like can be different genders.
Or the same though. There was some Lokis look the same.
So
I feel like that.
And so like, I think you like that. If Renslayer happens to be another variant of Kang, that then feeds into, oh yeah, they can be different.
Yeah.
Right? Like they all don't look.
I think
same.
It could be cool.
And I think that could be really cool.
In the comics, that's not the case, but I feel like the shows have, I mean, in the comics, Sylvie, it's a different character too. Like that's kind of a mix between this character named Enchantress and a Loki variant, whatever. So it's they're going different ways. Do you have any theories?
Well, I had a question I was gonna flip on you based on that. How do you think Miss Minutes fits into everything? Because there's a line somewhere, I think it was last episode, where they talk about Miss Minutes being, or maybe it was the finale actually, where they mentioned Miss Minutes being an AI, but more like Miss Minutes is more. And it's there's a lot of mystery and a lot of like, if there feels like there's a reveal waiting to happen with what / who Miss Minutes is.
Yeah, totally. I it's interesting. I don't know what that's going to end up looking like specifically because in this episode, they are clearly now going after. I imagine we'll see her next episode.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to start getting to that part of the story and a lot of the questions will be answered. But yeah, I don't have any theories. I don't think Miss Minutes being somebody is going to be a reveal, but I think Miss Minutes is Miss Minutes, but
I think whatever the origin
is or whatever, because she was at the end of time, right? She with that jump scare. So I don't know. That is there's something going on there. One thing I wanted to point out is in the credits, like the fancy credits where it's like showing all the stuff, which are so good. And I watch them every time just because the music's so good and like seeing it's great. But it ends on a shot that looks kind of like a ring. Or like a circle of some sort on that looks like in the He Who Remains like Citadel from the finale. And I noticed last night, and maybe this is a stretch and I don't even know what this could mean, but it had like a crack on it. And it kind of looked like the crack from last episode in the TVA where that thing happened. I wonder if that is like, if they're going to loop back to that as like that being a Nexus event or that being some moment that's like super important for some reason. But I don't know. That was just like a little thing I noticed last night.
So do you think we get to the place where, because right now with the whole TVA thing, right? The TVA seems like it's about to implode because it can't handle all the branching timelines and like them cutting off the timelines. Theoretically, it saved the TVA for the time being. You assume that they like, what did they say they had to do to fix it? They had to like go find He Who Remains, right? Like, isn't that the whole thing is that they had to find.
Well, they're trying to miss minutes, right? Because they're like Miss Minutes right now is turned against us, but like, can we get her back? I think was kind of like what they're to get answers
and like
stuff.
I'm sure maybe the answers are already out there. I've not seen the trailers for the next episode, so actually the only thing I know about the future of where the show goes is based off of the Quantumania post credit.
Okay,
that's
cool.
All I know. But I assume now the next step is to go after either Miss Minutes or Renslayer or A Kang and like fix the TVA that way.
I've been super out, there's been a lot of video games to play and there's been a lot of stuff, so I haven't been watching like breakdown stuff or I haven't really been, even the trailers, like we did our reaction to it, but that was it. So there's one scene in the trailers that I know is upcoming that we haven't seen yet, but only one in my mind that stands out.
Because I'm trying to figure out what the thrust of the next of the rest of the show is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you what was in the trailer because it's like not okay, that big of a thing. But like, you see a scene of Miss Minutes like kaiju style, like walking somewhere,
and interesting.
Like, just a 2 second clip of that. So we know she's in the show. I don't know the context of like where that fits in. I imagine that'll be next episode though. But I want to throw something out there.
Okay.
That I am pretty confident in, and I haven't seen anybody say it this shit. I think that it's going to be revealed by the end of this season mm-hmm. that Mobius is Owen Wilson in Loki.
You think it's you think it's a Brad Wolf situation?
Yes, because they keep the multiple lines in this episode. They say, Mobius, you're a good actor. They keep harping on this actor thing with him, and they're harping on him not knowing what his real life is.
That would be insane. I love that.
I don't know like how they can make it make sense. It could just be a throwaway joke, or it could be a real plot line. I think it's going to be Owen Wilson.
Does Owen Wilson really like jet skis?
That's my thing. They got to get the jet skis back.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if there's just like a post-credit stinger or something that's Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
But like, not the gray hair or like, I don't know how that all works. But anyways.
Huh. Well, this is one question I have also. Mm-hmm. So Brad was on the sacred timeline. That's what they said in the show. They said Brad was on the sacred timeline. But the whatever his code name is, right? Like when he was pruned, from a non-sacred timeline branch, right? Because that's how that works. So who did he replace himself on the sacred timeline? Are there two Brads on the sacred timeline, or did he fucking murder the Brad that was already on the sacred timeline, or was there not a Brad on the sacred timeline?
But there must have been.
But there must have been one if he's already famous. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was one where as soon as they said that, I was like, but that's not his timeline though, right?
I need to rewatch that. I don't remember.
This might just be back to the thing of timeline stuff is confusing sometimes.
I don't remember the dialogue actually about the explicit statements of him being from the sacred timeline or whatever.
I'm like 99% on that. Because I had I clocked it. I was like, you were on the sacred timeline? Like, what the fuck are you doing there?
Yeah.
It's not your home. There's another Brad out there.
There's another Brad out there.
Depending on how long he was down there, right? Like, if it was just a week, maybe he got away with it. Like, maybe nobody was like, maybe they never crossed paths and so it wasn't a big deal.
Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, I thought that was really weird.
That's really, really cool. Well, again, he has the scars. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Like,
Also, another one, and this is based on nothing except how writing works, is Kiwi Kwan, aka my guy, Obi. Is there going
to
be a twist with him?
There has to be.
Do you think he's evil?
Evil's an interesting word.
Mm-hmm.
He's up to some shit. He knows some shit. He wrote the book. He literally wrote the rules.
Yes.
Someone with that much power and that much understanding of how this all works is going to be a key player in this somehow. I don't know what that looks like. I don't think it's going to be a like heel turn villain type thing, but I do think that clearly it's linked to He Who Remains.
He must have been Kang, like maybe Miss either Minutes. One of the first people who was pruned from their timeline, and Kang was like, or He Remains was like, oh, I like you. You're going to be like, you're going to help me set up this whole TVA situation. Or like maybe He Who Remains knew him personally and trusted him. Maybe he was a lackey. I think there's a story there to be told. Like, I think we might get a reveal there.
There's going to be a reveal. I don't know what it is. I'm excited though. I feel like so far they've done a good job of simultaneously making him a character that the protagonist can trust and that we trust enough to like give information that when he says something, we believe it.
Yeah.
But then also we're like, but something's up.
He's too likable.
You know too much.
Like,
and
we love him
just
too much.
So likable.
You're so likable.
God, I'm so happy Loki's back. And I'm so happy we're getting it week to week, man. This should be a blast. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of Loki season 2. And again, those reviews. 5 out of 10 for my
That's why I'm like, what's going to happen in the next two? What in the next 2 episodes brings this down to a 5 out of 10?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I hope it doesn't actually get there. But let us know what you think about this one. We will return next week with an episode 3 breakdown. But until next time, have a marvelous day.